We come back to God. Well, Lord, what happened? What happened? You just disobeyed me. But God, look at all the things. You see, the logic and the reason, and listen, all the evidence in the world doesn't mount up to one single word from God when He says no. N-O. Listen, you can have volumes of why you ought to. But when God says no, that one no is wiser than all the volumes of man's wisdom. Because God knows the future and we do not. The way of faith requires our personal acceptance of Jesus Christ as the Son of God and His death at Calvary for full payment of our sins. You cannot separate Jesus from the cross. And this is the whole issue right here. The whole issue and the point of contention is the cross of Jesus Christ. God says that the only way for a person to be forgiven of their sins is for God to have paid the price for our sin by sending His only begotten Son, who had never sinned, to take the full payment of our sin upon Himself at the cross, dying on that cross, atoned, satisfied the demands of God for our sin and our guilt. The way of faith is that I come to know Almighty God in a personal way by accepting His Son, Jesus Christ, that His death on the cross is full payment for my sin. And the moment I do that, the Spirit of God comes into my life. Then I have a discerning spirit to be able to relate to God. Because you see, a person without Christ, they have no spiritual life. And so we relate to the earthly world by a physical being, our emotions and so forth. But we relate to God only by a spirit. If the spirit is dead, there's no relationship. And so when a person places their trust in Christ, the Spirit of God, by an act of their faith, the Spirit of God comes into their life, and now they can relate to Him personally. Now they can know Him personally. Now, I'm not saying God's whole redemptive plan is simple, but I'm saying that as far as what is required of you and me, it's down to one word. It isn't performance. It isn't keeping 10 commandments. It isn't living by this and living by that and somehow persecuting myself physically and going through all kinds of gyrations to prove anything. It is simply one word, faith. Now, friend, isn't it wise on the part of God that in order to save a life from wrecking and ruining itself, you make the plan of salvation so simple that even a little 5-year-old boy understands that he's disobeyed God and that his heavenly Father loves him, sent Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son. When Jesus died, He paid for his sins, and he receives Christ as his Savior, and he's saved. Real simple. If I want to reach him young before they wreck their life, if I was really smart and wise, what do I do? I make it so simple, even a child can understand. So what happens is, in the wisdom of God, He's made His redemptive plan so simple. You know what He's done? He's placed it in reach of anybody and everybody out there who hears it. You see, the same people who use logic to say, well, my God is a God of love. Can you tell me anything any more loving than this? That this God who loves the entire world, He's made it so simple that He's placed it in reach of a small 5-year-old boy and a 90-year-old man. And you don't have to get out of bed. You don't have to perform anything. You don't have to do anything. It is a matter of placing your faith in Christ. Now, I didn't say when you got saved you wouldn't do anything. There are lots of things you'll want to do because you are saved. But you don't do anything to get saved but place your faith in Him, period. You don't repent to get saved. Listen, repentance is cleaning up things. You don't clean up your life in order to get it clean. You place your trust in Jesus Christ who cleanses by His blood. Then you make corrections in your life that you know don't fit who you presently are now that you've been changed by the grace of God. That is the wisdom of God. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the cross of Christ, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, He says, to the Jew, the Greek, whoever it might be. That's why Paul says, I'm not ashamed of it. Oh, the Greek philosophers and the Jews said it's a stumbling block. He said, I'm not ashamed. Because he says, first of all, I've experienced it in my own life. I've seen it demonstrated in other people's lives. It is the power of God and the salvation to change a man's eternal destiny. Let me ask you a question. What other act on the part of anybody, anywhere, will change their eternal destiny from torment, from separation from God to heaven, and that person can absolutely know for a certainty that in their life now and when they die, they are heaven bound. Tell me any other idea, any other philosophy, any other truth, anywhere that you can know absolutely that's for sure and it's not your performance, your hope so, maybe so, but absolutely know so. Only through the cross of Jesus Christ. It is very reasonable, very logical, and very intellectual to become a child of God. Because you step into the pathway of wisdom, the wisdom of God. Now listen, it is always best to do things God's way. It's best to put your trust in Him as your personal Savior. It is the only way to get to heaven.
Dr. Stanley's message pointed to the truth of the gospel. Once you agree with the truth, the most reasonable thing you can do is to confess your sin to God and receive His gift of forgiveness with faith that Jesus Christ's death and resurrection totally satisfied the penalty you owe. He is then your life, making all things new. You can know more about becoming a Christian at intouch.org. And to listen again, click on the link to Today on Radio on our homepage. Open our online bookstore if you'd like to order a copy of Dr. Stanley's complete message, Faith versus Reason. Our web address again is intouch.org or call 1-800-INTOUCH. If you prefer, you can write to us at InTouch, Post Office Box 7900, Atlanta, Georgia, 30357. God expects His followers to seek and follow His wisdom. We'll hear about getting God's viewpoint just ahead in today's Moment with Charles Stanley.
Do you take sermon notes on the back of your bulletin, jot scripture references on the offering envelope? Start keeping things in one place, one organized place, with the InTouch Note Takers Journal. This leather, soft journal contains 150 pages for taking notes and includes Dr. Stanley's 30 life principles. Find everything in one convenient place with the InTouch Note Takers Journal. Call toll-free 1-800-INTOUCH. Or visit intouch.org.
The cross was not something that God gave us as a point of decoration. The cross is the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
But what is it about the message of the cross that can transform you every day of your life? In his book, The Gift of the Cross, Dr. Charles Stanley walks us through scripture to show us how to see the cross in a new light. The Gift of the Cross. Order yours today at intouch.org/store.
You're listening to In Touch. Wisdom is good. Godly wisdom is crucial. With Insight for Believers, here's A Moment with Charles Stanley.
Wisdom is the capacity to view things from God's viewpoint, see them like He sees them, from His frame of reference, and then to respond to those according to biblical scriptural principles. That's what wisdom's all about. Someone may ask the question, well, why do I want to search for wisdom? Well, one of the first reasons that you and I need to acquire wisdom is because God requests that. God desires that. God commands that you and I become wise men and women. That is, He wants us daily to be able to look at the circumstances of our life, look at our surroundings, look at the events of life, look at the lives of other people, what's going on, and see them from God's viewpoint and respond to that question, that decision, that circumstance, that event, that worldwide calamity, to respond to it according to spiritual principles. That's how we become wise people. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all desirable things cannot compare with her. That is, from God's viewpoint, there's no material thing that can be compared to wisdom. That is, the capacity, the ability to be able to look at the circumstances of life and see them the way God sees them, and then to respond to them according to scriptural principles the way God would have us to respond. That's wisdom.
You can learn more about how to embrace the wisdom of God at intouch.org. And if the gospel has changed your life, and if this program has been part of your story, please let us know. Tomorrow on In Touch, there aren't many people who like to wait. But if we want to find real fulfillment, waiting is a crucial discipline to develop. Tips for staying on God's timetable come your way Tuesday on In Touch, the teaching ministry of Dr. Charles Stanley. This program is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia, and remains on this station through the grace of God and your faithful prayers and gifts.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. According to a recent article in the Washington Post, about 65% of teachers said that they limited their instruction because they were afraid of upsetting parents. And felt uncertain about whether the school and district leaders would support them if parents did express concerns. And to varying degrees, teachers in both more progressive and in more right-leaning areas admitted as much, although according to the author, teachers were more likely to suppress classroom content in areas where former President Trump had received the majority vote in 2020. Well, the encouraging part of the story is that more teachers now care how parents will respond to what their children are being taught. This is certainly an improvement over treating children as if they're the property of the state or of the school. For too long and for too many, parental involvement's been limited, even discouraged, left up to the so-called experts in order to determine what is and not appropriate content for their children. However, beyond the parent-teacher dynamic, there's another, troubling side to the story. Regardless of political leanings, when the place of truth within education is unclear and uncertain, and the role of the teacher as a representative of truth is compromised, the educational project has certainly lost its way. The clear implication for learners and teachers is that truth is merely subjective and should be changed in order to fit whatever the mood is of the day. In fact, according to the ever-increasing critical theory mood that dominates education in the Western world, any claim to objective truth is not only wrong, it's viewed as an oppressive power play, rather than being an accurate reflection of reality. Now, of course, it's inevitable that teachers will instruct their students according to the worldviews that dominate the educational system. So it shouldn't surprise us if teachers alter their content to better fit the cultural mood, especially if it means escaping the backlash of a polarized age. But let's be clear, that's not education. At best, it's confusion. At worst, it's propaganda. To help students rightly understand the world in which we live, educators have to first acknowledge the reality of the God who created it and the objective basis for the truth that He provides. The surge in enrollment in Christian education over the past few years is certainly an encouraging sign. In fact, both parents and educators have moved en masse from state-run options to private Christian ones, a move that seems to be pointing to a shifting mood about education itself. In a recent New York Times article about school choice, for example, the superintendent of public instruction for the state of Arizona, Tom Horn, is quoted as saying, quote, "Nobody can do a better job of choosing what's best for the child than the parents. The freedom to confidently make these kinds of educational decisions based on truth is becoming a driving factor for educators and for families." To support Christian educators in their work at this incredibly important time in American educational history, the Colson Center is partnering with the Association of Christian Schools International, ACSI, to offer the Rooted Educator Worldview Summit. It's going to be held June 24th to 27th in Black Mountain, North Carolina. The summit will feature leading voices on essential issues of Christian education, including how to communicate biblical truth, especially on issues related to identity, how to engage ideas like critical theory and gender confusion, and how to cultivate within students a love for what is true. To learn more about the Rooted Educator Worldview Summit and to register, visit acsi.org. That's acsi.org, and click on Featured Event. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint. Today's Breakpoint was co-authored by Stephen Wilson. And for more resources to live like a Christian today, go to breakpoint.org.
Your resume is very impressive, Mr. Carter.
Oh, thank you.
But there's something here that's just a little bit unbelievable. Were you really an astronaut?
Oh, about that.
Who doesn't want to make a good impression? The problem is, too often we try to make other people believe we're something that we're not. But that doesn't work with God. Billy Graham.
The Lord looks on the heart. He knows what goes on inside your heart. And He judges by what He sees inside, not just what He sees on the outside.
You may not be proud of what He sees, but you can change all that.
It means that you're willing to give up some of those wrong things in your life and walk with Him. And then the second thing, you must receive Him by faith. You put your confidence in, you put your strength in, you put everything you have in Jesus Christ. And then the third thing, you must be willing to follow Him and obey Him.
Are you ready to take those steps now? We'd like to help. Go to findpeacewithgod.net. That's findpeacewithgod.net. We're the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.